Good day, listeners. Welcome to this edition of the Pure Sex Radio program. So glad that you've decided to join us today. My name is Jonathan, and we actually have back with us Gary Ingram with the Love and Truth Network. And so, Gary, welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much. Glad to be here again.
Yeah. Well, in this program, listeners, we're going to be trying to dive into what does it mean to be made in God's image, specifically as he designed us male and female. And we're going to hear from Gary about that. But before we dive in, I just want to let you know, as we do periodically, that we are a listener-supported program. So the only way that you're hearing us or seeing us is just because we've had partners come alongside and decide to support this ministry with financial gifts. And we're grateful, especially for those of you who decided to become monthly givers towards this ministry. But there's two ways that we would ask that you consider supporting us. One is certainly financial, and you can go to puresexradio.com and click on the donate link to make your contribution. But another way that's absolutely free is for you to just go and rate and review the podcast. When you do that, it helps people to be able to find our podcast more easily, because the more ratings and reviews that we have, then as people are searching for this topic or just wanting more help in their relationships or with their sexual integrity, then they can find this podcast and be benefited from it. So again, go to the website, puresexradio.com, if you'd like to make a financial contribution, or just go to your to the Apple Podcast to rate and review the podcast. Well, Gary, I am really excited to be getting into this conversation because you know, we are living in a day and age, especially in the Western world, but really even just globally now, where there is massive confusion and chaos surrounding the issues of sexuality and gender, and just even having a clue what it even means to be human anymore. I think we're totally deconstructing humanity.
Yes.
So I'm excited about having this conversation where we want to hear from you about, what does it even mean when God says that we are made in his image and that he made us in his image as these sexual beings, male and female? So where's the starting point that we get into this conversation about the image of God?
Well, so I just want to mention that my wife, Melissa, and I both have been profoundly impacted by and really informed on this particular topic of the image of God through the 40-year ministry of Desert Stream Ministries and Andrew Comiskey and his Living Waters program. Just has totally rocked our world, and so a lot of what we understand about the image of God really flows out of that ministry. With that in mind, it's interesting. I've been pondering over the last couple of weeks, really, just the reality that while God has made, God created animals, he created everything, obviously, but, you know, man isn't just a higher form of the animal kingdom. And when the idea that God breathed into us the breath of life, you know, and man became a living soul, I mean, that's a unique reality that that we can easily kind of gloss over when we're reading the beginning of Genesis. And when God took Eve out of Adam, again, that's unique. The animals, that was not part of their experience. He just made them male and female. But here Eve is taken out of Adam. And it's in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, we really see that framework for where God is having this conversation with himself, with the Trinity, and saying, let us make man in our image. And at the end of verse 27, it says that he made them in his image, male and female, he made them. And so this idea that that we were made male and female of equal value, and the church hasn't always gotten that right. Actually, for it's gotten it wrong in many ways. But that we are made of equal value as male and female, and that we have intentionally different characteristics that God put in us as male and female that are a part of his image. And so, I mean, it was a transformational reality for me wrestling with same-sex attraction, and pretty fresh in that journey when I began to really began to ask the question of, what does it mean for me to be a man made in God's image? How do I live that out in a way that really fulfills his calling for me? And one of the things I could conclude, at least in the beginning, was I don't think that me having sex with another man or being married to another man, having a lifelong commitment to another man, I don't believe that can actually be God's will and desire. There's God made us as male and female to, the language that's used when he brought, he made Eve and brought her to Adam is that he made someone to correspond to Adam. And so there's both a similarity, but there's dissimilarity. And so this idea that I can really fulfill God's intention for marriage by being in union with someone just like myself, someone who bears the same image of God, is really not in any way living out God's design and desire for us to actually relate to the other image. In some ways, it's easier, certainly for a same-sex attracted guy, to live out a relationship with a guy because I know, you know, I understand him far better than I understand her, and vice versa. But it's in that place where we begin to really live and function according to God's design, and also where we begin to break down the barriers between male and female, the war that's been going on between the sexes since the fall, since the beginning of Genesis, between Adam and Eve. And immediately you see accusation and covering, you know, they were full of shame after sinning. And so this idea,
would you say that to kind of build that point out a little bit more, one of the reasons that we have such a struggle now in all aspects of our sexuality and relational brokenness and all that is because when sin entered into the world, there was a, if I could put it this way, a fracturing of God's image in male and female, because yes. Now there was like the image of God in the man was broken. Now the image of God in the woman was broken now. And, you know, ad nauseum, we've had that conflict going on because there was a fracturing in the image of God. Would that make sense? Like if we were meant in terms of, when I hear image of God, a lot of times I think we were designed by God as mirrors. Like we were meant to reflect him. That's our created order, our created design.
Yes.
Is unlike any other creature, we have a mirror directly connected to God that is meant to image him in the world.
Yes.
Well, sin like broke the mirror, you know, mm-hmm. and now that's where all of maybe this, the sexual brokenness and all the other things might come out. But go on. What else would you say?
No, I think, that? I mean, that is so true, Jonathan. And just to kind of follow through on that a little bit, certainly, so the mirror has been broken, but in Christ, I mean, this is one of the beautiful things I often hear and I agree with, and the idea that our identity is rooted in Christ. Our identity is in Christ as followers of him. That's certainly true. But I think we also have a more formative identity, which is that we were made in God's image and that mm-hmm. was broken. But in our identity, in identifying with Jesus and identifying with Christ and his work on the cross and us coming under that work and coming into alignment with it, it also allows us then to begin to restore. He's restoring in us that idea of being better reflections of who he is as male and female. And there's also something about the way that we honor one another. Like it's when we honor one another, certainly in our marriages for sure, but as single individuals, I think too often the church, we have set up a scenario in which it's all about family. And of course, I think that's a core need, but we need to do a whole lot more for singles than have some crappy singles ministry that no one can stand being in. Right.
And I'm so glad you're saying that because it is all about family, but that doesn't mean it's all biological family.
Exactly.
Like the family of God is full of male and female and they're not all married to each other.
That's
they're not,
right.
all, you know, and I think that's a good picture to remember that's the imaging of God in the body of Christ is, yes, it's, we need men and women in that, but they don't all need to be married.
Yeah. And it needs to be cross-generational. And yeah, so there's just so much to be gained by learning how to relate to one another in ways that are life-giving where men, so part of being masculine, getting to touching on that a little bit in relationship to woman is that men aren't just looking at a beautiful woman and undressing her all the time. You know, she doesn't, and women, I think a part of a woman being made in the image of God and living out that image, there's a way in which a woman has a particular kind of intuition. There's a way in which she has a knowing that isn't necessarily, I mean, plenty of women are logical. My wife is more linear than I am. And there are women who are engineers and that kind of thing, and mathematicians. But there is a way in which women also have a kind of knowing and this intuition that I think is an expression of the image of God in them. And they pick up on and they become aware of, even if they can't say 2 + 2 = 4 in the situation, even if they don't, they can't quantify it, there's a sense of knowing that she's being dishonored, or she is, whoever he is, or the kind of men in general, just don't feel necessarily safe to her. And so part of being a man and being and living out this masculinity is that we as men make safe spaces. The environment around us becomes a sense of wanting to not smother, that's happened plenty, not hold women down, that's happened plenty in terms of their opportunities and things like that. We want to foster their opportunities, actually. But at the same time, we also want to provide a covering and a kind of protection. In my opinion, I believe that aspect, that desire of a man, that good desire to want to both bless and lift up and let her be all that she can be, while at the same time making sure that she's protected and covered, is part of the image of God in him toward her.
So let's talk about, in a previous broadcast that you and I were on together, you talked about something that we talk about around here all the time, and that is that everyone is connected to sexual brokenness in some way, whether it be their own or someone else. We're all connected to sexual brokenness. So that being the case, and realizing that we were made, I love the fact that you said really our first identity is we were made in the image of God. And then, of course, that's completed for us in the person of Jesus Christ because of sin having broken that original image. But let's talk about the fact that, okay, sexual brokenness has touched every single person. What does it look like for us to sort of recapture, re-engage, know what it is, even the goodness of our being made in God's image as we try to work through all these sexual brokenness issues? What's the connection there between us understanding being made in the image of God and dealing with whatever our sexual brokenness issue is?
I think, again, it's part of it is the difference between focusing on an addiction or sinful behavior to try to stop that, and we're constantly focused on it and trying to not do it, but all we're thinking about is the thing, as opposed to turning away from that and actually having this idea, a vision that is that we're leaning into, that others are casting for us, this big vision that God actually has for each one of us. There's something that is so much more powerful, so much more powerful in terms of turning away from what we're trying to break free of and focusing on where we're heading and where we're going. And I think part of that is very much connected. It's very connected to who we are as image bearers. There's incredible honor in the reality that we are image bearers. There's incredible honor in the reality that we are part of a royal priesthood in a holy nation. And yet, when I was living in addictive behavior, bound up in chronic masturbation and pornography, and sleeping with a variety of people, it was anything but honoring. It was anything but life-giving. And so part of what is something that can really be a spark in moving people forward out of addictive patterns is the vision that people are casting, the vision that they begin to take hold of, but also this honor. I remember there was something about, I think anybody that has experienced this, and probably all of us have, will know what I'm talking about. To walk in a clean conscience, there's something so incredibly wonderful about that. And then to turn and soil that, it's pretty devastating and it's pretty discouraging. But that idea of walking in a clean conscience it's just freeing. It's wholesome. It is life-giving in ways that we can't even fully understand. And I think that honor that we lean into in terms of being an image bearer, where I'm not just an animal. I'm not just a higher, I'm not just at the top of the you know, animal population, I'm a completely, there's some components there that are similar, but I'm a completely different creature because I've been made in the image of God. And I get to lean into, what does it mean not to just be human made in the image of God, but what does it mean to be male and female made in the image of God? How do I relate to my brothers in a way that breathes life into them, that blesses them, that doesn't just not tear them down, but actually builds them up? And how do I, again, as a woman, how do I bless my brothers? As a man, how do I bless my sisters? And how do we begin to stir one another up to love and good deeds in that context of being his image bearers?
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the fact that, you know, you mentioned earlier, God was very specific and intentional in creating these two different creatures, although he pulled Eve out of Adam. So there is a sense of we are of the same stuff, so yes, to speak. In other words, the equality aspect there. But also there's very intentional distinctions. In other words, there is a way that God designed the male that is not female, and the way that God designed the female that is not the male. Why is it important for us to recognize and embrace and even celebrate those distinctions rather than thinking like a man can do it all or a woman can do it all? Why do you think it's important that we recognize that, well, God actually made us different and made us with limitations to almost force us to need each other?
Yeah.
Like what's the importance of recognizing that along this journey, especially as we try to heal from whatever kinds of brokenness we're dealing with?
Well, we know, for example, in Ephesians, where Paul writes about this, this mystery, we think that he's talking about marriage and the sexual union within the context of marriage, but then he totally turns what he's saying on its head and says, but I'm talking about Christ in the church. And so for one thing, it's broader than just marriage, absolutely, but there is a piece of this that is really vital, in that marriage, the union of one man and one woman for life is God's ideal, and it's God's intention, it's part of God's design. But one of the reasons it's part of God's design is because it's a metaphor for a much greater spiritual reality of the union that he desires for Christ and the church, his body. That's one important piece. But I think also there's something really if we're going to live out relationship with the other well, if we're going to live out relationship as men and women, single men and women toward one another, certainly within marriage, if we're going to live that out well, we have to walk in humility with each other. I mean, humility is a core thing that is incredible. I mean, I certainly struggle with that too, not walking in humility, but it is a core thing. It's a core piece, and it's actually one of the ways that we mirror the heart of God. I mean, we see the humility of Christ. We see this humility in the Trinity toward one another, and this deference toward one another. And certainly I think that we have an opportunity as husbands and wives, as men and women toward one another, as men and as brothers and as sisters toward sisters, we have this incredible opportunity to really show a humility for each other. And I think it takes real work. And this is one of the things also Melissa and I gained from our time in Living Waters, and we continue to do Living Waters. But one of the things we really gained in that is this deeper understanding that it takes a lot of work to actually honor the other in a way that really lifts them up and builds them up. And as we do that, I mean, it's not just paying, you know, outward compliments toward one another. It's actually recognizing like this thing that has been maybe mysterious or frustrating or whatever about you. There's a way in which you're different. You're similar to me, but you're different. And you're such an amazing reflection of the image of God. And I want to really lean into that. I mean, how many of us as husbands, Christian husbands and Christian wives, are considering what is it that my husband bears or what is it that my wife bears that is an example of the image of God? Like it's an expression of the image of God. And how do I actually routinely crush that? Mm-hmm. How do I actually stifle that? I think oftentimes as men, we do that towards women when we expect them to understand things the way that we understand them, and vice versa. But I think that's a core, this getting out of ourselves and leaning toward the other and becoming one with the other, certainly in marriage, but appreciating the other as single individuals, really is a witness to the world of the goodness of God and the way that we can relate to each other in profoundly wholesome ways and life-giving ways.
Yeah, you know, one of the ways this sort of worked out practically for me in my own journey of recovery and reconciliation and restoration with my wife was I had to realize, you know what, I've wanted to think that I could just do it all. Like I could be everything that I was, that anybody could ever be. And one of the things I had to realize, you talk about humility, is I had to realize, you know what, I am horrible at emotionally bonding with another person. Well, guess who God gave me as a wife?
Yep.
Somebody who's phenomenal at emotionally bonding with other people. And so part of my own journey was recognizing I need to submit to her in that. Like, I don't have that. I don't have that same level of skill and ability and just it oozes out of her. And so the journey that I've been on of just learning that from her, I think there's a beauty that we miss when we seek to try to think we can be everything to everyone at all times. And it's like, no, we have limitations. And one of the things that I'm constantly reminded of, Gary, is, you know, God looked at a perfect man and said, you need help.
Yes.
You know, he said, not good that you're alone. So I'm thinking, how much more do I need help? If, you know, if he looked at a perfect man and said, you need help. So I think that's, it's good for us to be reminded every now and then that was part of God's design. When he said it's very good, when he made male and female,
yep.
I think it had to do with not only the idea that we can help each other, we were designed to help each other and like you said, fit each other. But I think there's also a sense of, you know, we like to use the phrase around here in our ministry that we're better together.
Yes.
Meaning that it's not just about, hey, you've got a deficiency and so I can fill that gap and you need help. But there is something that we become together. And I'm not just talking about in marriage. I think when you pull the body of Christ together, you have men and women together. There is something of a far greater attribute or entity or character or power that happens when we come together. So in other words, I think there's a multiplication effect. And I'd love for you to talk about this. It's not as if when the men in the body of Christ and the women in the body of Christ get together, that it's merely an addition, like one man plus one woman now equals two. I feel like there's actually a multiplication effect because the Holy Spirit is part of that. So you can talk, can you talk a little bit about the good that comes to the entire community when we are willing to pool our resources together, when we're willing to put ourselves together as male and female in the body of Christ?
Yep. Well, absolutely. And I think of it as synergy, really. And just as you were finishing that up, I had this flash of the memory of the allegory of the parable of stone soup, right? Somebody comes through town and here it's a town with mostly poverty. Everybody is hungry. But to summarize it very quickly, is that everybody has something. And as long as we keep our somethings to ourselves, and we're not willing to combine it with others or see what others have and bring our offering to the table. Sometimes we don't bring our offering because we're ashamed of it. Sometimes we don't bring our offering because we don't trust others with it. Sometimes we don't bring it because we're tending to be kind of greedy. But when they brought their little bits and pieces, here they make this incredible, you know, soup or stew that feeds the town. And I think in many ways that's true in the church. I mean, some of what we're talking about, Jonathan, most of what I've experienced in the church, and even to today, I think so often we as men and women, we as humans, we mistrust one another. But particularly as men and women, there's a lot of mistrust in the church. And we will tolerate each other. We'll laugh with each other. We'll do the functions of ministry. And yet we're still holding so much of our gifting and so much of the various things that God's given us. We're still withholding so much of that. But when we'll bring that, when we learn, when we as men, when we as leaders in the church create space for this, and we invite people, and we're willing to take the lead in it, and we share our own stories of struggle and brokenness, and we give permission for everybody else not to stay in sin, but to be struggling and to be moving toward Jesus and to be moving together. There's something about that that you're absolutely right. It's not just adding, you know, 1 + 1. There's a synergy in that, and we start to relax, and we can bring our full offering to in increasing ways. We can bring our full offering to bear with somebody else's full offering that otherwise we're getting a little piece of when we're holding it so closely out of fear or pride or mistrust. And so I think that, again, understanding who we are as image bearers, and not just the gift of that, but the responsibility of that. We have a responsibility to actually live that out and that should challenge the ways that we're doing life and ministry and family and singleness and all aspects of our lives should really be looked through the lens of the reality that I'm a man made in God's image. I'm a woman made in God's image. What does it mean to bear that out?
Now, you mentioned, we got a few minutes left, and I want to kind of maybe land the plane with this. You mentioned the idea that, you know, sometimes we have this apprehension and this mistrust, and how much of that do you think is because we have, especially in our culture here in the Western world, in America, we have so, and I mean even in the church in the United States, we have so over-sexualized everything that there is this rampant fear, even in the church, of any kind of male-female relationships, because it just seems like it's all sexualized. But when I look at the life of Jesus, I'm like, here's a man who knew how to have intimate relationships across gender lines, intimate relationships with men, intimate relationships with women that were all totally appropriate and God-honoring. So what would you say to us who need to hear, okay, how do we break through that fear and that mistrust and really seek to live out the image of God in the fullness of being connected as men and women?
I think you're absolutely spot on, Jonathan, about that. And when, just as one example, it's estimated that 1 in 4 girls will be sexually abused by the time she reaches the age of 18, and 1 in 6 boys will be sexually abused by the time he reaches the age of 18. Mm-hmm. And just on that one issue alone, let alone pornography at early ages and all the sexualization that happens, and the way that we're at young ages, we're not prepared to even handle that kind of stuff. And it gets us way off track. So I think that, when it comes to the topic of sexualization, particularly, we can all benefit. Every one of us can benefit by, embracing programs and embracing counseling. Again, Living Waters is excellent. That comes out of Desert Stream. You guys have programs that are great as well. But I think we have to get really intentional about recognizing, look, I don't want to, if I'm 40 years old, I don't want to become 50 or 60 or 70 and still be carrying all the baggage that I have in my life now. I want to learn how to shed this off so I can more fully live out the image of God that he's called me to live out as a man or a woman. So I totally agree with you, but I think it requires that we do intentional work, not try to avoid or skirt our past abuse or our past sins or the wounds that we're carrying. We're all carrying wounds. We need to deal with those directly. And in that healing process, God frees us up more and more to mirror. It's like he's taking the cloth and cleaning the mirror so that we can more accurately reflect who he is in our masculinity or our femininity.
Yeah, and I totally agree. And I think that's one of the most healing things that I think removes a lot of that shame, is when we can first and foremost start to see every person around us, male and female, as an image bearer of God.
Yes.
Instead of seeing them just in the wrapper, so to speak, that they're in.
Yes.
It's like, no, let's not make this person an object. This is a person that was made and made very, very specifically in the image of God. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, right?
Yes.
So, Gary, this has been a great conversation. I appreciate the work you're doing and the voice that you have in this space. How can people learn more about what you're doing in ministry and get connected with your resources?
Sure. Actually, Jonathan, thank you so much for having me. It's been a joy to have a conversation with you. The best way for people to get in touch with us is just through our website, which is loveandtruthnetwork.com. And there's a connection tab there, or connect tab. If you click on, you can reach out to me directly, but that's probably just the easiest way to get a hold of us. And you'll see testimonies and other information on our website that explain more about what we are, who we are, and what we're doing.
Yeah, we'll definitely be sure to put that in our show notes and everything. But Gary, thanks again for your story, your life, your ministry. We're glad that you've been with us.
Thanks so much, Jonathan.
Yeah. And listeners, of course, we're always glad that you're with us, and we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take care.